Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled, How to Know Truth. In the Apostle Paul's first letter to Timothy, he warned Timothy that in the last days, some would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We are most certainly in the last days, so how can we make sure we know what is truth versus what is false doctrine or man-made traditions, which make the Word of God of none effect? The answer is the Holy Ghost. We need to know how to open the door to His ministry in our lives so He can guide us into all truth. I hope that you enjoy this message. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who has been sent to teach us your word, to reveal truth to us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We don't have to depend on man to teach us. We have the teacher himself, the Holy Ghost. And we open our hearts to you, Holy Spirit, and we thank you for revealing truth to us this evening. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you. I thank you so much for your word and for revealing truth to us this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Well, last week we talked about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and His ministry in regards to His guidance in our lives. And I really appreciate the fact that the Holy Ghost does bring guidance into our lives and how He does it. And the simple fact that sometimes we don't even realize just how much He's leading us and He's guiding us when we're submitted and we're surrendered to His ministry in our life, particularly when we spend time praying in tongues. It really empowers Him, helps Him, gives Him an open door into our life. And we're yielding ourselves over to Him as we pray in tongues. And it enables Him to lead us and guide us. And it says in John chapter 16 that He guides us into all truth. And that guidance into all truth is guidance in a variety of different ways. But this week, we're going to talk again about the Holy Spirit. I feel like it's the Holy Spirit and His ministry is a subject that I think too often in churches that it's not really focused on His ministry, Him as a person, not really focused on so much, His ministry in our lives, not really talked about to a great extent, unfortunately. And as a result, there's kind of a question mark in people's minds when it comes to the Holy Ghost and His ministry and what He's been sent to do in our lives. He's here, He's been sent, but there has to be ways in which we empower Him in our life to function, to operate, to minister to us and through us. There has to be ways in which we can yield to Him. And so this evening, one area of His ministry we're going to look at is His teaching ministry, how He teaches us, and the fact that we can be taught by the Holy Ghost, that we don't have to be, dependent, solely dependent on other people to tell us what the Word of God says. You know, that's a dangerous place to be. When you're solely dependent on whoever's standing up in front of you behind the pulpit. You're solely dependent on him to tell you what the Word of God says. That's dangerous. And here's the reason why. It's because whatever his understanding is of the Word, that's the limit in your life. Because you're not empowering the Holy Ghost to teach you individually. You're simply relying on that individual to teach you. And unfortunately, particularly in this country, I believe that there's a large percentage of people that attend church regular basis that completely, totally rely on whoever's standing behind the pulpit to tell them what the Word of God says. And that's just not what God had in mind for us. He had in mind for us that we would be taught on an individual basis by the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost. And the reason why is because, you know, there's a tendency for people to particularly, let's say spiritual leaders, I don't think it's intentional, but it seems like so often they fall into a trap of traditions. You know, if you look in churches today, and there's just so many traditions, and you know, it's like the traditions of men make the Word of God of none effect. You know, our traditions have just so consumed us, it seems like, and it's not anything new. It's the same thing that Jesus dealt with when he talked to the Pharisees of his day, the spiritual leaders of his day. They had traditions. They had doctrines of men that they had developed, and they were instituting those as if they were pure doctrine from, you know, God's doctrine, and it wasn't the case. It was traditions that they had created that they expected the people to follow. And see, when we don't empower the Holy Ghost to teach us, and when we don't give him the opportunity to teach us, we are just so susceptible to man's man-made doctrine and their traditions. And you know, as I was saying that, I just had this flash come up in front of my spirit, man, of man-made tradition. And I'll tell you, it was without making fun of any group or organization or denomination. I don't want to do that. But I saw these women with no makeup, very plain, with the long hair and the long dresses. You see, all of that is man-made tradition. And you know, you can go on and on, you know, pointing out the traditions that we have in our churches today. And it's not my intention to do that. I'm just telling you what, you know, that was the one that flashed up in front of me. But there are traditions that we have that we don't even recognize them as traditions. And as a result, we're missing the truth of God's Word, and we are looking at those traditions as if they're true doctrine, and it's robbing us of the real truth. And like, for example, in those, since I pointed out that group that teaches and holds fast to the long hair and the no jewelry and the no makeup and all of that, what they're trying to do is they're trying to present or they're trying to make themselves holy by their external actions. Well, that's the same thing the Pharisees did when Jesus was talking to them, and they were questioning him and his disciples, "Why aren't you washing your hands? You know, we have a tradition here of what we have to have our you have to wash your hands." And we'll get into that in just a few minutes. But again, it was trying to do something on the outside that would make them righteous. And same thing holds true today. These people that are trying to dress a certain way, trying to wear their hair a certain way, not wear makeup. They're trying to externally do something that will make them righteous. And righteousness is a free gift that we receive through grace. You're saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't do anything to make yourself righteous. I don't care how long your hair is, or if you don't wear any makeup at all, or whatever you do or don't do in an effort to make yourself righteous. Righteousness is a gift that you receive. It's not by your external actions. So let me step back here. This is why we have the Holy Ghost to teach us these things, so that you don't have to rely on an individual to tell you what the Word of God says. Because if that person has traditions maybe that they don't even know about, or doctrines, man-made doctrines that they don't even realize, they don't even recognize it's a man-made doctrine, and you don't rely on the Holy Ghost to teach you, and you make yourself subjected to that person and to their man-made doctrine, you're going to receive that as truth when in fact it's not. It is a man-made doctrine. And there's absolutely no power in it. And what it will do is it will put you into bondage if you subject yourself to it. Just like the people in Jesus' day. They couldn't do anything except they washed their hands. And it said they had to wash them often. They couldn't eat any food unless they washed their hands. They had a ceremonial way of washing their hands. So before we really dive into that, let's open your Bible, if you would, with me to the book of John, chapter 14. John 14, 15, and 16 have several different places in there where they talk about the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Last week we looked at John 16, verse 13, where it says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth," that's the Holy Spirit, "is come, he will guide you into all truth." And that was, we were talking about his guiding, his leading and guiding. But again, this can also talk about describe his ministry, guiding us into all truth, the truth of God's word, his teaching ministry, revealing truth to us. "For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Wow. He can show you things to come. Isn't that amazing? Mark, have you ever had that before? Yeah. I have actually had the Holy Ghost show me something that was to come, preparing my heart for something that was going to happen. So go back over here to John 14, and let's see what Jesus has to say here about the Holy Ghost. Verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now look at those words. Look very carefully. He shall teach you all things. Now stop just for a minute. You read a verse like that, he's going to teach you all things. First question a lot of people have is, all right, if he's going to teach me all things, then what the world do I need you for, Mark? Well, as a teacher in the body of Christ, I have an anointing on me to teach. And that anointing will, it helps the person listening to receive the truth in the Word of God and to understand it more easily. So my job in the body of Christ is to yield myself to the Holy Ghost, let Him teach through me and have the anointing there for you to understand more easily what's being said. But it doesn't mean that you have to rely on me. Thank God for that. I think it's wonderful. Because what happens if I'm not there or if you're not able to receive from someone that's a teacher? Are you just, are you out of luck? There's, you know, nobody to teach you? No, that's not the case at all. See, when you get born again, you receive a reborn human spirit and you have the capacity to understand the things of God. And what you're needing though is to be taught. You have the capacity to receive it, but you simply need to be taught. Thank God, it doesn't always have to come through the mouth of a teacher. You can sit down with a Bible in hand, pray in tongues, and let the Holy Ghost reveal truth to you, and you can teach yourself. And it is a wonderful experience. And you have a safeguard against being subjected to man-made doctrine. And what happens a lot of times when people, when they're first baptized in the Holy Ghost and begin to speak in other tongues, they begin to have difficulty so often in the church that they had always been going to previously. Sitting there listening to the preacher, it becomes more difficult. Why is that? I think in many cases it's because that person who's received the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues, they're doing something often that the pastor of the church isn't doing. And maybe the pastor of the church is relying on what they received from another man who received it from another man. And quite possibly a lot of their doctrine is man-made doctrine. Quite possibly. So here the little churchgoer is sitting in the pew and they have the Holy Ghost. They're praying in tongues, and the Holy Ghost is teaching them, and they're beginning to see that what they're hearing isn't lining up with the truth of God's Word. And so often, I believe, when that happens, the little churchgoer runs into the pastor's office and wants to straighten the pastor out. Well, now you need wisdom. Now you need to spend time asking the Holy Ghost what you should do in that situation once you realize that maybe a lot of what you're receiving is man-made doctrine instead of the truth of God's Word. You'll have to tread lightly. You'll have to let Him guide you, and He'll show you what to do, and you need to follow that. So, here's another verse that I want to look at in regards to what we just read in John 14. And this verse is going to be in 1 John. So, that's going to be in one of the John's epistles towards the end of the Bible. 1 John, This is going to be in chapter 2. And it's going to be two verses that we're going to look at. First one is going to be verse 20. 1 John 2:20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, as I look at that, let's identify a few words here. In the word unction is the word anointing. You have an anointing. When they talk about the anointing, like in the Old Covenant, they had the anointing oil, and it was something that they poured on. And now this anointing, this unction is, we have been anointed on the inside in our reborn human spirit. We have an unction from the Holy One, and we know all things. So, with what we read back in John 16, think about this in the light of what we're reading in 1 John 2. When he, this verse 13, John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And think about that in the light of this. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Who is this that's doing this teaching, that's doing this revealing of all things to you, if it's not the Holy Ghost in your reborn human spirit? And the capacity that you have to know all things is because you have been born again. But the knowledge of all things is in the mind of the Holy Ghost as he reveals it to your reborn human spirit. Does that make sense to you in the light of those two verses? Can you see how those two verses fit together and how you see the ministry of the Holy Ghost in the book of John, the Gospel of John 16, and also in 1 John chapter 2? So look down here at verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. Abides in you. This anointing that abides in you. Abiding, living in you. The anointing. Is that not the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you? The Holy Ghost? But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things. Okay, stop there. We already read back in John 14 where it says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Who's the teaching one? The Holy Ghost. So when you see here in verse 27, the anointing which you've received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. This teaching that the Holy Ghost is doing, that we read about in John 14, is it not the anointing that we're seeing here in 1 John? Same writer, John, who told us in the Gospel of John in the 14th chapter that the Holy Ghost would be the one doing the teaching. Here's the same person. Now writing in the gospel, or in the letter, in the first letter, in the second chapter about teaching, a teaching, anointing, someone who we have received that is teaching us. Can you see that this anointing and the Holy Ghost is one and the same? That the writer John is only using a different way of describing the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is in fact the person, the third member of the Godhead who has been sent to teach us. We have been rubbed on, anointed. We have an unction, and his name is the Holy Ghost. He is our teacher. And he is teaching us. And where it says that you need not that any man teach you, that's not saying that we don't need to have any teachers in the body of Christ. If that was the case, then why would God have had teachers in the body of Christ? It's only saying that we don't have to solely rely upon them. And I thank God for that. Because there's none of us. No preacher has all the answers. Not one. We have, each one of us has, a portion of truth, I guess you can say it like that. But not everyone has the complete total revelation of everything. There's still things that I question in my, that I like to have greater insight on. Maybe someone else does. I don't in some areas. In other areas, maybe I do, and other people don't. See, it's not every one of us is at the same place in our revelation understanding of God's word. And so consequently, we all need the teacher. We all need the Holy Ghost teaching us. We all need to be able to activate his ministry, to open the door to his ministry in our life through praying in other tongues, meditating the word, inviting him. Just say, Holy Ghost, teach me. I need to be taught. Please teach me. And that will be our safeguard. Because, we can find in the book of Timothy, chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, in the first verse, it says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that's the Holy Ghost, speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, we're in these last days. There's seducing spirits. There's doctrines of devils. People trying to teach all kinds of stuff that it's just not the truth. And these seducing spirits trying to tell people that they can live any way they want to, and God is just okay with that. Baloney. It's just baloney. It's not right. There's a life of holiness that we are to live. It's not to earn anything from God, because we receive it free by grace. But it's not a license to go and live however you want to live. So there are seducing spirits. There's doctrines of devils that are trying to seduce people into lasciviousness, living a life of lasciviousness, living a life, to their own flesh, where there's flesh is being gratified and not living a life of holiness, and they're convinced that they're okay living that way. And quite frankly, if that is the lifestyle that a person chooses to live, Peter talks about, and also Jude talks about those that are twice dead. What does that mean? Well, You're dead at the beginning before you make Jesus the Lord of your life and you're reborn into the family of God. So to be twice dead means that at some point you walk so far away from God through your own actions, through living a life to the flesh, that you've pushed yourself so far away that you can return into that place of death again, twice dead. Well, that's not the way you want to be. But see, what is happening is people are preaching this message that you can live however you want to live. It is a seducing type of a doctrine. It's a doctrine of a devil. But you don't have to be susceptible to that because you have the Holy Ghost to teach you the truth. So no matter who stands up in front of you, no matter what they might say, you don't have to be subjected to their nonsense. Thank God you have the third member of the Godhead right on the inside of you. If in fact you have been baptized in the Holy Ghost and you have His ministry, you have access to His ministry, all you have to do is just open that door to Him and praise God, He will teach you. He will show you things to come. He'll guide you into all truth. Glory to God. We don't have to rely on somebody else. We individually can be taught by God. See, under the old covenant, they didn't have that. They didn't have that ability under the old covenant. The individuals, the people, they had to rely on the priest to receive the messages from God. They couldn't go to God directly. But my goodness, now that we're born again, man, if you could open yourself up and see inside your reborn human spirit, if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you are wall to wall with the Holy Ghost. You've got the third member of the Godhead right there on the inside of you. See, when the veil of the temple was rent, with Jesus being resurrected from the dead and that veil was rent, it meant that the presence of God was not restricted to that physical tabernacle any longer, that we have become His tabernacle. He lives right on the inside of us. And when we say, Holy Ghost, come and live inside of me, I receive your baptism, hallelujah, and you're filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, hallelujah, the fire comes. Man, your trouble going somewhere to happen as far as the devil's concerned. And you've got the access to the truth. You don't have to rely on somebody else and their potential to mislead you and for seducing doctrines of devils. You don't have to be subjected to any of that. You, on an individual level, have access to the teaching ministry of God Himself. He didn't turn this over to some angel. He didn't turn it over to anybody else. He took the responsibility Himself and came to live on the inside of us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And when we invite Him to come in and baptize us with Himself, and we begin to pray in other tongues, bless God, we open the door to Him and all of the many facets of His ministry. Hallelujah. He's guiding us. He's revealing truth to us. He's straightening out the wrong doctrine that we may have been subject to in the past, that we don't even recognize this tradition of man, that tradition of man. We don't even recognize that it's inside of us until He shines the light on us and shows us this is a tradition of man. This is not the pure word of God, the pure doctrine of God. This is a tradition of man. And there's no power in man-made traditions. And see, that's what Jesus was pointing out to the Pharisees. Let's go take a look at that. Two different places. Mark chapter 7 is one place. The other place is Matthew chapter 15. Let's look at Mark chapter 7, verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples, they saw some of Jesus' disciples, eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. Believe me, they were looking for fault. They were wanting to figure out some way of showing that Jesus was wrong. So here they're eating with unwashing hands, and that is just against the tradition, the man-made doctrine that these people had established. They'd established that you have to wash your hands often if you're going to be holy. And if you have to wash them a certain way, you can't eat without washing. They had all of these rules and regulations. And what were they? They were traditions that they had created. Verse 3, for the Pharisees, and look at this, all the Jews. How many? All of them. Is that a majority of them? No, that's all of them. Is that just a few of them? No, that's all the Jews. See, I want to impress that on you, because Jesus' disciples were Jews, and they weren't doing it. But everyone else, they did this. All the Jews, the Pharisees did it. The Pharisees had so indoctrinated the Jewish population that they had to do this. That they had to do the ceremonial washing, to the point that they all did it except for Jesus' disciples and himself. Jesus apparently had already began to explain to them that was a man-made tradition, and they weren't doing it anymore. They were eating with unwashing hands. That's what it says right here. So everybody else is washing their hands. Everybody else is doing the ceremonial washing before they eat, except for Jesus and his disciples. And the Pharisees, they're hot. Why? Because this is undermining their authority. See, as long as you do what I tell you to do, you're subjecting yourself to my authority. But now, here's Jesus, and here's his disciples. Out of all of the Jews, these people, the Jesus and his disciples, are not following in lockstep with what these Pharisees and these religious leaders had dictated that they do. They're not doing it. And see, right there, that will get a religious person really upset, because they've established this, and now you're undermining their authority. And they didn't like it. The Pharisees didn't like it one bit. And they're questioning Jesus. How come everybody else is doing it? All the Pharisees do this, Jesus. All the Pharisees, they obey these rules that we have established. They obey. All the Jews. We've got every one of them henpecked to the point that they will follow. They will do exactly what we tell them to do. And when they wash their hands, they don't eat before they they don't eat without washing, except for you and these rebellious these rebellious disciples of yours, they're eating and they're not washing, and we want to know why. Well, I tell you what, they just opened a can of worms right there with Jesus. Because Jesus is going to show them, he's going to show them that what they're doing is wrong. And it is wrong. Anytime that you come face to face with man-made traditions, those man-made traditions are wrong. And what they do is they steal the truth of God's word away from you. You start looking to those traditions instead of the truth of God's word. And anytime someone feeds you something that's a tradition, that's a man-made doctrine, and you accept it, you've accepted it in place of the true doctrine. Let's go back for a second. I began talking because at the beginning of this, I just had that picture so quickly of the folks, the people, particularly the women in certain organizations, denominations, that, you know, they have to wear long dresses, they can't wear makeup, they can't wear jewelry, their hair has to be long. See, if you accept that as true doctrine, what that does is that will undermine the true doctrine that you're righteous through grace. And any time that you substitute anything for that, for grace, any time that you put anything else there, any action that you have to do in order to be righteous, you have just undermined grace. There is no action that we have to do other than to believe and receive by faith what Jesus did for us by grace. That's it. We can't do anything in the natural to qualify ourselves for righteousness. We can't have hair a certain length, won't do it. Makeup or no makeup, facial hair, no facial hair, earrings, forget it. There's nothing. What you eat, what you drink, nothing. Or what you don't eat or what you don't drink. None of that will produce righteousness. Only by grace are you saved through faith. Only by grace receiving what Jesus has done for you. That's it. Period. And that's one of the things, you can hold your place there in Mark, that the writer of Hebrews said. If you want to go over to the 13th chapter, verse 9 says, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing," it's a good thing, "that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." Let's stop there. It's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. With grace. Not by meats, not by what you put into your body. See, Jesus is going to say later, when you go back over to Mark 7, it's not what you put in the body that defiles, it's what comes out. It's what you say that defiles the person, not what you put in. Let's go back here to Mark and let's read a little bit more. "For the Pharisees," verse 3, Mark chapter 7, "the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other," oh, look at these words, "and many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables." So it wasn't just the washing of their hands. There was other things. It says many other things they hold, many other rules and regulations. See, that's religion. I mean, that, you just get right down to it. All of the rules and all the regulations is religion. Religion will rob from you a true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The do's and the don'ts. Do this, don't do that. See, this is what Jesus was addressing right here with these Pharisees. And here was the thought that the Lord brought to me. Do you, Mark, do you think that it was just back then that this was happening and not today? Oh, heavens, yes, it's today. It's happening just as much today as it was right here when Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees. It's the same devil. It's the same wicked spirit. What is he trying to do? He's trying to rob and steal. See, that's, you look at John chapter 10, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. And if he can, he will steal, kill, and destroy. He does it in the church. He'll do it right in the church. And the stealing and the killing and the destroying will happen when we accept false doctrine, when we accept man-made doctrine, traditions of men. He's robbing from us the truth of God's word and replacing it with a man-made tradition. And here's the thing that I have found. What I found is when you come confront someone and their man-made tradition and their ideas, and you confront it with the truth, I'm telling you, you better have your helmet on, because they will do everything they can to hold on to their traditions. They will. They'll do everything they can to prove you wrong. And you're showing them the truth. You're showing them God's word, what God's word says. But they will hold on with both hands to that tradition. They won't, you know, so often they won't turn loose. Now, I'm not saying that's the case in every situation, but be prepared. And it may be that God doesn't even want you to address it with an individual or whatever. It may be that he just wants you to keep your mouth shut so you don't get hurt. But you need to know what the truth is. You need to know what the truth versus the traditions, the man-made doctrines are. And the Holy Ghost has been sent here to show you. And it may not be that you're going to have a platform to show anybody else, but you know the truth. And that's what matters. You know the truth. All right. So let's go back here. Verse 4. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? Oh, heavens, no. They're eating with those horrible unwashing hands. Don't you know that that's going to send them to hell? Baloney. I mean, we look at that and we think, how ridiculous. I mean, that is just ridiculous. But how many ridiculous notions do we have that aren't true, that we just don't see, that and when we need the Holy Ghost to show us? Verse 6, he answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias, that's Isaiah, prophesied of you hypocrites, as it's written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me. Now look at these words. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. There you have it right there. And if you think that this was only for back in the time when Jesus walked the earth and it doesn't happen anymore, I have news for you. The devil hasn't changed. He's not changed. He uses the same tactics, the same old stuff. He just, he does a new and improved version. He kind of repackages it, but it's the same thing, the same way of coming against us as he did here. And let me read that one more time. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me. In vain. Look at those words. Do they worship me in vain, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men? Boy, I tell you, that's a powerful statement. And again, if you could only know, if you could see in all of churches, let's just say in this country, all the churches, all of them, if we could only know the percentage of the man-made doctrines, people teaching them, and in place of the truth of God's word, true doctrine, if we could only know, I bet you the percentage would just be astronomical. I bet you it would so shock us to see. And so you say, well, Mark, what's the answer then? The answer is the Holy Ghost. He sent to us the Holy Ghost. He's given us the Holy Ghost to teach us so that we don't have to be subjected to man-made doctrines. And again, I want to caution you that, it's probably not your job to correct the people that you hear with the wrong doctrines. Don't think that it is. You know, you have access to the truth, the teacher, the Holy Spirit, to teach you. And it may be where you go to church might change. Maybe the Holy Ghost will redirect you to somewhere else where someone has maybe a greater revelation of truth, and maybe it's not so much of the man-made doctrines, he's going to direct you. Let him guide you. Let him lead you. Don't try to correct the people that that you've listened to for years, and now you've discovered that maybe what they're saying is just what they've heard from other people. Don't think that that's your job. You just follow the Holy Ghost. Let him guide you into all truth. And he will. And thank God he will. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Well, let me give you a few more verses here before we close for tonight. I read 7 again. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. See, right there. Laying aside the commandment of God. See, that's where the problem is. You lay aside the commandment of God, and you hold the traditions of men. As the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. Oh my goodness. I would imagine that this is true, so true today, that people they'll hold on to their tradition. Even when they come face to face with the truth, so often they'll still hold on to their own traditions. They don't want to turn loose of it. All right, jump over to verse 13. And here's where the problem is. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do you. There's the problem right there. You make the word of God of no effect. You, when we believe the doctrines of man, the traditions of men, when we hold on to those things instead of the truth of God's word, we make the truth of God's word of no effect. We're holding on to the wrong thing. And as a result, we're holding on to something that won't produce, when all the time God's word will produce. His word will work. But it won't work if we're holding on to man's traditions. So what do? We empower the Holy Ghost to be our teacher, to reveal truth to us. We open the door to his teaching ministry. He guides us into all truth. He teaches us all things. He brings all things to our remembrance that Jesus said. My goodness, we have the third member of the Godhead living on the inside of us. When we have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we have been baptized with God himself, and he has come to reveal truth to us. He's come to expose wrong thinking that we have. Hey, if you've gone to church for any length of time, there's things that you've been subjected to that are, you know, not necessarily the pure, undefiled word of God. And the Holy Ghost will reveal what is inside of you that shouldn't be there. He'll show you what truth is and what the truth of God's word is. But he has to have an opportunity. And we have to give him that opportunity. We have to give him that open door to do that. And it takes spending time reading God's word, meditating in his word, praying in other tongues, letting him teach us. He is the teacher. We have an anointing from the Holy One. Glory to God, and his name is the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Well, I hope that blessed you this evening. I hope that it is encouraging you to pray in tongues, encouraging you to give place to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I hope that you'll do that, because if you do, he'll teach you. If you do, he'll guide you into all truth. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I thank you that you've given us the third member of the Godhead to live on the inside of us, to guide us into all truth, to reveal truth to us, so that we don't have to be subject to man-made doctrines, that we don't have to be seduced by seducing spirits, that we can receive truth directly from you. We don't have to go through another person. We can get it straight from you. Father, if there's any person that has not been baptized with the Holy Ghost, right now, in Jesus' name, I pray they receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for filling them up to overflowing. Filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Filled to overflowing the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.